still technically Christmas. So Christmas season is the first Sunday after Christmas, and it stays Christmas until the Epiphany, which is January 6th, which is when we celebrate the wise men coming and being with Jesus at that point, the recognition that he is Lord and King. So we were at Speedway and Lights this last week, because, you know, you go the week after Christmas and no one's there. It's the thing to do. Keep that in mind. So we went to Speedway and Lights last week, and we were driving around, and Lily was looking out the window, and we drove by a nativity scene. And my mom was in the car with us, and she said, "Lily, what is that?" And, you know, she was like, "Oh, it's pretty lights." And she was like, "Well, it's a nativity. Who's in the nativity scene?" She said, "Baby Jesus." I'm like, "All right, I'm an okay parent, I guess. I'll take it. I did something right." And we'll say, "Well, who's with Jesus?" And she said, she just, you know, talking about the lights. There were dinosaurs, too. There might have been some dinosaurs in there with him. I don't know. And then with some prompting, she said, "Well, it's Mary and Joseph." Okay, so we got that. We got the baby Jesus, and we got Mary and Joseph. And there's three guys with him. Who are those guys with him? You know, again, it might have been dinosaurs at first, but we kept on going. And so it's the three wise, you know, men. That's what you'd think. We said the three wise friends, she says. So the three wise friends are with him. So what do? She said, "Well, they bring him gifts. And I like the gifts, and so I took them." Like, oh, all right. Well, thank you. You know, so maybe I didn't do as well as I thought. It's all right. But that's what we're talking about today. Believe it or not, we're gonna be doing a covenant renewal service. If that sounds weird, it's not that weird. If it sounds like I just made it up, I didn't. It's actually something that's quite old, and the underlying premise of it that it is. For as much as we've been given to be aware of the gifts that God has given us and to rededicate our lives to him at the start of the new year. John Wesley started doing this, 1755 is when he started doing it on New Year's Eve or New Year's Day. He would always do this. And I think it's a great way for us as a church to kind of start the new year off right. Sound fair? I think, you know, Al was talking about the, I was looking for him, but I couldn't find him. He's blending in. It's the white on. I was talking about the membership discount. That's a good point. So we don't really have any hefty membership discounts other than what Al's got. The $5 off coupon. You can redeem it at any location. Feel free. But membership in the universal church is not really an easy thing. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, he was a German pastor and theologian, and ultimately died. He lived in Germany and died during World War II because he was involved in a plot to assassinate Hitler, which he came to as a pacifist after much internal deliberation. But he said, he wrote a book called The Cost of Discipleship. If you never read it, go check it out. He said that when Christ calls a man to follow him, he bids him to come and die. That's a tough thing to think about, that being a follower of Jesus is not, it's a low bar to get there, or low barrier once you get in, but it's a pretty high bar that's set to be a follower of Jesus. So that's what we're going to be looking at today in that. And so a couple of points before we go through this service together. And for the record, it's not just because I didn't want to preach today, okay? So, John, for saying, you know, I was just coming up with this so I didn't have to preach a big sermon. It's not that. You know, I was in bed by 11 last night, so yeah, don't worry. But a couple of points. So the first thing, the reason why we do it, John, we're going to read the scripture first. I almost forgot it. I got to talking, and then I shouldn't do that. All right. John 15, verses 1 through 8, if you'd read with me. Jesus speaking here in the upper room with his disciples, and he says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. I'll say that again. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. That's a great scripture, I think, for what we're starting with here. And so just a couple of points before we go through this together. The first thing, the reason why we do this, why we're doing this today. First point, John 15:4, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain on the vine. What we do as followers of Jesus is intimately tied to what he's done for us. We do nothing apart from what he's done in our lives and what he's doing in our lives. And so as we look to move into a new year of fruitfulness, so we look to reconnect. Even if you feel like you're already real grounded, it doesn't hurt to just double check, make sure you're connected. Reconnect to the vine, the source of from which we can do all these things. The second point is Hebrews 9:15. For this reason, Christ is the mediator of a new covenant, that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, now that he has died as a ransom to set them free from the sins committed under the first covenant. So a big part of this, and you'll see it as we go through the service, a big portion of it is repentance and confession. And it might seem kind of heavy. It might seem kind of, not the real uplifting thing, but just wait, it gets better, okay? Because we have to start with an inward look and see where in our lives maybe we know that we've come up short. Because in some ways, we know that we all have in some ways. I'll be the first to admit there are plenty of ways that I fall short and that I mess up, that I make mistakes, and that I need to repent. And so we start with repentance, because when you understand how much you need to repent of, I think, and you understand the desperateness of your own life, then you can understand the grace that God gives you to live an abundant life. Okay, so then we start with repentance. And then this third point is Paul writes this in 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, and it's a great reminder, and it's a really hard word. He says, "You are not your own. You were bought at a price." That all of us sitting here, the mere fact that you're here indicates that in some way that you're seeking to follow Jesus in some way. And so remember, you are not your own. You didn't do this. You didn't become a follower of Jesus because of anything that you did. You've earned nothing. None of us really have earned any of it, but it's what God has done in us. So you are not your own. You were bought at a price. And then the last point here is we start the new year by renewing our covenant as Christ followers, and we do this in the presence of the church because we commit to not only growing in grace individually, but as a community, so that our goal is to be more like Jesus as individuals, right? And that's what we're going to be doing for the next 2 months in our sermon series. We're going to be looking at how we grow in grace, what God's grace means in our life, and how we grow in that. What he does to offer us and what that means. Because I think a lot of times, well, at least when I was a kid and growing up around here, you know, you become a follower of Jesus. There's a lot of emphasis placed on that first part. Okay, you know, the commitment to Jesus, which it's very important. Okay, right, it's very good, it's very important. But then the part that comes after that is always, well, just what do you do the rest of your life? Well, be more like Jesus. Well, how do I do that? Well, just do it. That doesn't work. Yeah, I've been trying that for a long time. A lot of people try that for a long time. And like they just sang in that song, it is finished. It is finished. The battle is over. But so many people, myself included, we spend so much time still fighting a battle that is already over. That Jesus' victory on the cross doesn't just cancel the penalty of sin, but it really and truly sets us free to live a new life. We're not only justified in terms of our sins and relationship made right with God, we're not just justified through faith, we're also sanctified through faith. We're made like Jesus through faith, not by works. We think that we're justified by faith and that we are sanctified through our works, that I'll do more and do more things, and then eventually I'll do more and be like Jesus because I'm doing all the great stuff. But that's not the point. The point is that we enter into all of it in faith. Everything that God does in our lives is in a response to our faith. It's what he's doing, and then we're made aware of his grace in our lives. And so that's what this is about. That's what this covenant renewal service is about. To start the new year and say, you know what? I'm not in control of this whole thing. I'm just going to take a pause and reflect on what God's done in my life and how to be more like him. It's a good resolution, and a lot of resolutions get made if they haven't been already. Sometimes, you know, people wait a little bit and make them the week after New Year's, you know, because they didn't quite already fail in on the first resolution. But this is a good one because we don't have to keep it in our own strength. See what I'm saying? A lot of times New Year's resolutions fail because, you know, you just try to do it. You know, I'm going to eat healthier this year because I'm going to finally find this sudden source of willpower that I've never found in my entire life, and I'm going to do it this year. It's the year. And that's great hope, but it doesn't work. It's never worked for me. Maybe for some of you it has, and I applaud you for that, but I'm not that good. And so I need God's grace to empower me. I need the Holy Spirit to fill me and to enable me to live a life more like Jesus. That's what he does. And so we already practiced a little bit of this. You guys were reading those prayers and doing a great job. So Renee's got it back there. That's good. This is some group participation. So the way it's going to work is there's going to be a leader portion. That's me. It's going to be in italics, and I'm going to read it. And then there's going to be a portion that says all, and that's you. And it's in bold, okay? So are we good? And so you read that part. I read the italicized part. And then if you mess up, it's okay. You're forgiven, okay? All right. Let's kick this off. Gathered today are those of us who seek to live as true disciples of Jesus Christ, but we acknowledge that sometimes we fall short. So let us now examine ourselves before God, humbly confessing our sin and submitting our hearts so that we do not deceive ourselves and fall away from the true vine. Let us pray together. Father, you have set forth the way of life through your Son, Jesus Christ, whom you dearly love. We confess that we have been slow to listen and reluctant to follow. You have called us and revealed your beauty to us, but we have been deaf and blind. We have accepted your gifts and offered little thanks. We now confess to you our sins. Forgive us, Lord, for the poverty of our worship, for the selfishness of our prayers, for our unbelief and quick judgment against others, for the ways in which we neglect fellowship with each other and with you and your grace that you offer us, for our hesitation to live and to share the good news with our neighbors, for all the ways in which we deceive others and ourselves. Forgive us for when we waste time and misuse the gifts you have given us. Forgive us for when we have made excuses for the wrong things we have done and when we have purposefully avoided responsibility. Forgive us that we have been unwilling to overcome evil with good and that we have not been ready to carry our cross. Forgive us that we have not allowed your love to work through us to help others and that we have not made their suffering our own. Forgive us for those times when instead of working for unity, we promote division. Forgive us for when we have not tried to reconcile with others and when we have been slow to seek redemption. Forgive us also for these sins that we silently confess to you now. Friends, this is the good news. That while we were yet sinners, Jesus Christ died for our sins. And so God, the Father of all mercies, is faithful to cleanse us from sin and restore us to the image of Christ in which we were made. All praise and glory to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. So let us gather here before the Lord now in covenant, commit ourselves to Christ as his servants. Let us give ourselves to him so that we may fully belong to him. Jesus Christ has left us with much work to be done. Some of it's easy and honorable, some of it's difficult, some of it's easy, Some of it is downright disgraceful. Some of it's dirty. Some of it's messy. Some align with things that we like to do, and some doesn't. In some, we please Christ in ourselves, but in others, we cannot please Christ except by denying ourselves. For in dying to self, we gain true and everlasting life. And so, Lord Jesus, we offer you this prayer. Let me be your servant. Let me follow your commands. I will no longer follow my own desires. I give myself completely to your will. The power and strength to live as true servants is given to us in Jesus Christ. We accept the place and work that he gives us, acknowledging that he alone is our eternal reward. Make my own. I'm not alone. Make me into what you will. Rank me with those you will. Put me to use for you. Put me to suffering for you. Let me be employed for you. Let me be lifted high for you. Let me be brought low for you. Let me be full or let me be empty. Let me have all things or let me have nothing. With a willing heart, I freely give everything to your pleasure and disposal. Jesus Christ is the source of salvation for all the world. We do not earn his grace, and we do not achieve greatness by working harder. It's in laying down ourselves submissively before him that we are filled with his grace and his truth and his love. So consider these ways in which you can seek that grace daily and uphold that covenant which he offers to us. So the first thing is daily prayer. So if you don't already, find some time in your day, just a couple minutes even, to just set that aside where you go alone in your own inner room, as Jesus said in Matthew 7 or 6, somewhere in there. Sermon on the Mount. You should have been here for it. Go alone into that room. Set aside time to just pray and be alone with God. That you should continually pray, continually praying to God and being in communion with him, but set aside some time each and every day to just be alone and experience God each day. The second thing is to look for the presence of God around you daily. Paul says that he did not leave himself without a witness in the world. That we look around us, we see, as the song said, that great hymn, How Great Thou Art, we see his work all around us, the stars, the trees, everything around us, we see his handiwork. But more than that, we see his handiwork in the people around us. Because all people are created in the image of God, no matter how lovable or unlovable they might be. All people are created in the image of God. It can be adorable Lillian. I'm going to call her, she's my daughter, so I can do that. She's, even her, made in the image of God. Or my neighbor who got upset with me the other day because my dog got out because Lillian left the door open, just saying. It's all right. Even them, right? Even the people that we don't like or feel like liking in that moment. All people are made in the image of God. So look around you where you can see the presence of God and see him moving in the world. The third thing is to trust in his grace, to trust and have faith that he will fill you up and give you power to meet whatever is in front of you, that he offers that sustenance for you to live an abundant life. The fourth thing is to what we're doing, to resolve for faithfulness, that to seek intentional faith. And if you're finding that hard to ask, he'll meet you in it. Remember the scripture? Whatever you do, you ask, it'll be given to you, especially if you ask for more faith. He'll meet you in it. He will. He really will. And then the fifth thing is to seek God first in all things. To seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all this will be given to you besides. The peace of mind, everything that goes with that. Seek him first. And to make something that you just think about each and every day, to seek God first in all circumstances, in all situations. You might have had an argument with a significant other. Seek God first in that. What would the kingdom response be like in this situation? Maybe someone cuts you off. What would you do? What should be the kingdom thing to do? It's not, giving them the bird and then saying, get out of here, I lived in New York for a little bit, so I'm pretty well versed in what that looks like. Especially with Tennessee plates. But seek him first in all things and in all situations. And so, we will now pray the covenant prayer together. My righteous God, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, see me now as I fall down before you. Forgive my unfaithfulness when I have not done your will. You promise mercy if I turn to you with my whole heart. Jesus Christ is the only way and means to God. God has given us himself in the person of Jesus Christ. What we celebrate at Christmas is God's self-donation into the world. And so, Jesus, I here and now accept you as the only new and living way. I join myself in covenant with you. I come to you hungry, sinful, and unworthy to touch the hem of your robe. Only say the word, and we shall be healed. God is the searcher of all human hearts. Lord, search us and help us to know ourselves and you more deeply. Lord, we seek to live in deep relationship with you and with each other. We make this covenant today in sincerity. If anything within us is false or holds us back, prune the branch away. From today onward, help us live by your grace. You are creator, redeemer, sustainer, and by your sacrifice, friend. You are mine, and I am yours. So be it. May this covenant that I have made here on earth be ratified in heaven. Amen. Amen. All right, this time Al's going to come up. We're going to do praise and prayer requests, and then we're going to finish up with Holy Communion. I really like doing the praise and prayer requests right before we do communion, because it's a great reminder that it's at the table that we can meet the presence of God. Certainly you can meet him everywhere that you are, in all circumstances, and certainly to look for that. But that Holy Communion is a special means of grace in our lives. It's an outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual grace that he does in us. Okay, so whatever you need, whatever you bring with your praise and prayer requests, good, bad, ugly, indifferent, we then bring it to the table. Okay, so when we do that, well, I'll get to that in a minute. Al, go ahead.